Bonjour. Welcome to this new episode of So French, a podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris.
This week, of course, we will talk again about politics, about the presidential election. It was an important week this week. And we'll also go into space to talk about our favorite cosmonaut, astronaut or spationaut, Thomas Pesquet. And we also talk about
the curse surrounding the French state of emergency. And of course, Maud Descamps is here to bring us a fresh French word of the day.
Last Friday was a very important day in the presidential election campaign because it was the day when the candidates had to hand in their endorsements.
Well, they have to have 500 signatures from elected citizens, you could say. So it could be anyone being in an elected office in France. It's a system that was actually put in place by Charles de Gaulle. And from the beginning, you only had to have 100 signatures. But then in the 1960s, there were too many candidates, they thought. So they actually upped this number to 500 signatures. And it is, I mean, it's quite an easy thing for the big candidates to get their signatures. It is a very, very tough task for the smaller candidates. And some of them actually consider this being even undemocratic. I heard talk about mafia, sort of like a mafia behind this, and a kind of old-fashioned way of
democracy.
Proceeding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And these signatures need to be the signatures of like mayors and local elected people, and I don't know, many people can give their signature.
Yeah,
right?
There are thousands of people. Yeah. I think that tens of thousands of people have the right to give their signatures. But for example, the bigger, the main parties, they hand out instructions to their elected, like the Socialist Party will tell their elected people to only give their signatures to their candidate. That's the same thing for the far right far left party here in France. So the smaller candidates and more independent candidates who are not backed by a big party, they have a really hard time getting their signatures. And some of them actually proposing another system, which would be like if you have enough signatures from normal citizens, like 500,000 I don't know, 200,000, that will make you also a candidate.
Yeah. And is it already clear who's in and who's out?
Well, you have at least, I think, before tonight, there was already about 8 candidates who have their their signatures have been validated. Several thousand have already signed up for François Fillon, actually.
Incredible.
The candidate with the most, as it was before tonight, with the most signatures.
That's rather amazing. And of course, the others are Emmanuel Macron, Mélenchon, Marine Le Pen.
Marine Le Pen, of course, she has her signatures.
Benoît Hamon for the Socialist Party. Nathalie Arnaud, she's from the Communists. They still exist in France.
We have a nationalist candidate called Assanino.
Okay, who is a very, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Yes. Special candidate, but he managed to get his signatures quite easily.
He's actually a liberal nationalist. I looked at his program. It's quite interesting because what he wants to do is he wants to apply the program that the resistance in 1944 came up with for this country.
So how modern.
Yeah, very modern. But he's very liberal. But he's also very nationalist, very strange combination.
He wants France to leave the European Union and the NATO collaboration.
And the euro, yeah. And, well, in the polls, he's about 0%, but he said himself a couple of weeks ago that the election on the 23rd of April will have a big surprise about his results. So we'll see. That's Asselineau.
Can't wait to see what Asselineau will bring us. But you know, there are people actually gone through these signatures that have been validated for now. And there are quite funny things that happened. You know, we all know the feud brewing between Marine Le Pen and her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who actually, just to remind you that Marine Le Pen has been trying to kick out her father from the party he himself founded. Yeah. She hasn't really managed. He still has some authority in the party. Oh, he doesn't have any authority, but he's still part of the party. But he actually came down to put down his signature to endorse his daughter, Marine Le Pen.
His father's feelings were stronger than, yeah.
Power is more important after all than, absolutely. Than maybe the family feud. Another story, elected Green Party member who mm-hmm. actually got a bit upset by the fact that the Green Party candidate, Yannick
Jadot,
decided to join Benoît Hamon, the socialist candidate.
Yeah.
And she decided to go and endorse the far left candidate.
Really?
Jean-Luc Mélenchon. So, as I said, François Fillon.
Of course.
Another one who has 300 signatures. Quite a lot of signatures, is Alain Juppé.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but he's not running.
He said himself that he's not a candidate, but, if maybe he will end up with 500 signatures.
Yeah, but now it's too late. It's really done now. Everybody who did not send in its signatures tonight, on Friday night, they can't compete. So this about the signatures. Let's talk about one of these persons who have the signature. We already talked a lot about him, the former Prime Minister François Fillon. Of course, we all know that he's involved in a very complicated scandal. Allegedly, he employed his wife at the National Assembly for many, many years. She earned a lot of money, probably over 800,000 euros net, paid for by the French taxpayer. And that's not a real issue because a lot of French MPs, they employ the family. Sounds maybe crazy to a lot of countries, but it's not illegal. But the thing here, the problem is that she did not work. Well, he, Fillon, has been defending himself for many, many weeks now, that he did nothing wrong, that everybody does it. So what's the problem? This week, however, there was a new revelation. It's all about fashion. It's Paris Fashion Week.
Exactly. And, it's really getting down to his bare skin, this scandal, by now.
Yeah.
Because it turned out that he has been offered by a friend. I must say, my friends are nothing like the friends of François Fillon. He's been offered a couple of suits, a couple of cashmere shirts, to a value of 13,000 euros, paid by, to begin with, a secret friend.
Yeah, that was the news at the beginning of this week. And now tonight we know who this guy is. He actually admitted it. It's Robert Bourgis. That's a name that doesn't ring a bell probably abroad, but actually he is one of what here is called Monsieur France Afrique, the network between France and the former African colonies. A lot of business is being done.
He has helped François Fillon with the contacts in Africa. He's brought him on trips and he has helped him in connecting with different African associations and countries and communities. And, he's a friend, but he is also very much someone who's been working very closely.
Yeah.
It's not only someone who he's having dinner with Saturday evenings. It's someone he's been working very, very closely with. It's interesting how this whole the suit scandal was playing out. But because the reaction of François Fillon when journalists asked him about this, he said just, I've been paid, so a friend of mine paid for my suits. So what?
Yeah, incredible. And he said, so what? But there are actually two problems here. The first is that if you're a member of parliament, then you have to mention, there's a registry, register at the National Assembly to mention gifts of over 150 euros. That's the first problem. He didn't do that, so that's illegal. And the second, and that's the police is more interested in that, this guy, Robert Bourgis, gave the suits 9 days after François Fillon won the primary election of Les Républicains, of the Republicans. So this could be considered as trying to buy some influence with the guy who was supposed to be France's next president. So the police is currently investigating it, and it's also part of the investigation in Fillon's case. So this all about a suit. What is interesting that at the same time, another French politician was convicted for also 13,000 euros in clothing. Yeah, that's news. News today.
You're telling me about this.
Yeah, it's a local politician, a lady in the département of the Essonne. It's in the larger Paris suburb. She bought actually with public money. She was also a parliamentary assistant, and she used the money to buy clothes. But she actually went shopping at Mango, at Zara, at other, you know, cheaper stores. So also 13,000 euros.
But she probably got more stuff for her money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Fiona got two suits. So she's the smarter one.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about François Fillon, though.
Okay,
we have been talking a lot about him.
That's
but there's
true.
So many
That's
angles
true.
And so many stories in this whole scandal, and all these scandals actually there. Because, you know, we have been talking about the fake job scandal.
Yeah.
And after all, it might actually be quite difficult to prove that someone isn't working, because you need very little proof to prove that someone has been working.
Yeah.
So what many are saying, you know, it could be a difficult case for the investigators. But another angle to this is a story that has maybe not got as much attention, but it's the case of how François Fillon's He's having a consultancy company on a private basis. It's his private consultancy company. It's called 2F, like François and Fillon. It's very clever.
Very clever.
And this company has actually been paid by the insurer AXA, which is a major insurer. You all know about them. And this at the same time as François Fillon was working as a parliamentarian.
Yeah.
And he was actually doing work for AXA, and what many say is doing lobbying work for AXA at the same time as being a parliamentarian.
Yeah, incredible. And it, and there's a small detail as well. It's not illegal for an MP to have a consultancy firm, but they have to have started this business before they become an MP. And what François Fillon has done, actually he registered the company, so his consultancy firm, 12 days before he was officially sworn in as an MP. So, you know, there are many small details that show that he was basically, well,
there's nothing illegal.
No, nothing illegal. No.
For now, at least. But what many are pointing out is that, if those maybe remember, that François Fillon is the candidate who has been supporting a system that would make the insurer's part much bigger in the social security system in France. It would more or less, from the beginning, his idea was to more or less take out the social security system and replace it with a private insurer. He had to back down on that,
it's a clear
on that
conflict,
suggestion. But, you know, that suggestion coming at the same time, as you know, that he's been doing lobbying work, or at least working for the AXA insurer, doesn't look...
No, it's a clear conflict of interest. And it really looks a lot like Donald Trump and his businesses, finally. And, well, we'll see what happens. He's now an official candidate. We still have 5 weeks to go.
With thousands of endorsements.
Thousands of endorsements. And he is still not in prison. But if he goes to prison, he will probably be the best-dressed prisoner France's prisons have ever seen in 13,000 euro suits. And it's time now for the So French Word with Maud Descamps. Bonjour, Maud.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sarah.
This week you have a present for us. What's the word this episode, Maud?
Well, the fresh word of the week is the word cadeau. Cadeau, which we can translate by present or gift in English. Why did I choose this word? Because this week, one of the candidates at the presidential election, François Fillon, was actually accused of having received many luxury suits gift from an unnamed benefactor. So this is a new scandal that made me think about the meaning of the word cadeau. So according to the Littré dictionary, the etymology of the word cadeau is the Latin word catalus, which was a little chain used to attach things. But the word catalus was also used to describe the art of writing and drawing capital letters. You probably know that, but many years ago, even centuries ago, when the religious people, the priests, were copying books, they put a lot of effort in drawing and writing the capital letters and putting a lot of decoration on them. So that was called catalus. and which draw us to the meaning of the expression to make a gift, faire des cadeaux, which meant doing something unnecessary and superficial, as the art of drawing letters was. And then from this meaning, the word cadeau got an advertising meaning, if I could say, and became the word we today use as a present or a gift, which I think could maybe enlighten the situation, the suit situation of François Fillon.
Merci, Maud Descamps.
We're going to move on to another story, to the skies, and to our very
own
and favorite French
astronaut or cosmonaut, or what do they say here?
It's an astronaut.
Astronaut? Okay. But they also use the word cosmonaut.
Ooh. That's the Russians.
Yeah, that's the Russians. Stefan, I know. But, you know, the French are very communist, finally. But spationaut. Spationaut. Yeah, the real French word is spationaut. But we say astronaut. Thomas Pesquet. He's flying around us. As we're recording this, he's probably somewhere above our heads, or maybe, and taking a lot of photos.
Yes, he is filling up his Instagram and Twitter account with loads of pictures every day, more or less. He's been up in the sky since November last year, so entering like 4 months, almost 4 months by now. And he's really, I mean, he's become a bit of a rock star here in France. He's young, he's very communicative, but he's also using this this opportunity to really spread science, you know, as I say, with his Twitter account. And he's also doing a lot of work for the schools here in France. So, for example, several schools have already had live interviews with Thomas Pesquet from the International Space Station in real time.
Yeah,
so the
that's cool.
School children can actually ask their questions directly to an astronaut. I would have loved that when I was a school.
Yeah.
And now this Monday, there will be this big, big event where about 200,000 French school children will have the opportunity to see Thomas Pesquet live and directly, and also ask questions to him and, you know, have a proper interview. It's about more than 10,000 classes, I think.
Wow.
All from 6-year-olds to 15-year-olds.
That's nice. So he's basically connecting to a lot of French people.
And hopefully making, you know, school children see that, you know, to begin with, it's possible to become an astronaut.
Yeah.
And also to get interested in science and...
And he's about like 40 years old, I don't know exactly, maybe even less, in the
30s. He's 30, he's in his late 30s. Yeah.
And he's a real hipster, right? Because he's on Instagram.
He doesn't have a beard, but you know.
He doesn't have a beard, but...
and he plays the saxophone, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's very much into music. Huh?
Yes,
another thing.
And so for our, you know, a little culture segment this week, we decided to actually combine it with Thomas Pesquet, because what he did when he went up to space, he uploaded a playlist, and it's called Music for Space.
Music for Space, that
sounds
nice.
You can find
it
on the Deezer streaming application.
Yeah, okay.
And so Music for Space, and he had a whole list of songs that he was going to listen to when he was in space. But what he's also doing since arriving up there is that he's adding a song per day.
Wow.
And he's adding quite a lot of French music. So it's a good way of finding new French music. And, you know, you have like famous big bands like Daft Punk or Justice or M83 and all of those big things. Even David Guetta I saw on that list.
Okay, well, you can't be perfect.
But he also has smaller bands, mm-hmm. like Mylan, who's maybe a less known artist. And one of band that I personally like very much, it's Tahiti Boy and the Palm Tree Family. Not a huge, not a big, big band, but a really, really good one.
Okay.
So I would advise you all to have a listen to Thomas Pesquet's Music for Space playlist.
Okay, well, we'll put the link to his playlist on our website, sofrench.news. And by the way, we like music as well, and we have our own playlist on Spotify. If you just look for So French, then you will find our playlist, so Sarah and me put together. But all this information you will find on sofrench.news. It has been 18 months now that France has been living under the state of emergency. You remember, of course, it was first put in place during the November attacks in 2015, during the siege of the Bataclan in Paris. It was then prolonged a couple of times, and Manuel Valls, the former prime minister, last year he announced that it would be lifted. And actually, in an interview on the 14th of July last year, President François Hollande promised that he would lift it very soon, but then that very same day at night, something else happened, Sarah.
Yes, it was the attack in Nice, where a truck drove into the crowds on the national holiday celebrations in Promenade des Anglais in Nice, killed more than 80 people. And of course, immediately it was announced that the state of the emergency would not be lifted. It would instead be prolonged once again. So it has been several times since.
Yeah, and now, there was of course an unfortunate coincidence that François Hollande announced the end, and then at the very same day there was a new attack. And this week, actually, well, not very similar, but something comparable happened.
It seems to be cursed.
Yeah,
I cannot
the
say
curse of the state of emergency.
I can't say anything else. But you know, because on Wednesday this week, the justice minister this time came out to say that, well, it looks now as all the elements and the stars are aligned for a lifting of the state of emergency. It was not an official announcement, there was not a date put, but, you know, he said that, you know, it looks like we can now lift the state of emergency soon. But what happened the day after is that a letter bomb, actually, was sent to the International Monetary Fund's offices here in Paris, injuring one person who opened the letter. It was not a huge bomb, but still, it was a quite frightening experience. And just minutes or half an hour after that incident, a teenager or 16-year-old boy went into a school, a high school in the south of France, in Grasse, and actually tried to shoot his friends or his school friends and his principal, and, you know, several people got injured. And, you know, after these two incidents, immediately the president was speaking to the press, and this is what he had to say.
Il y a l'état d'urgence. J'ai annoncé que il devait être prolongé jusqu'au 15 juillet. C'est la volonté du Parlement aussi, et ce sera au nouveau président de la République, au gouvernement et aux députés et sénateurs qui seront en situation d'agir à partir du 15 juillet de dire s'il faut maintenir ou non l'état d'urgence.
Yes, that was President François Hollande who basically said that the task to end the state of emergency, he will leave it for his successor, the new president, but it will be it will last at least until the next 15th of July, so the day after the national holiday here in France. So it's still going on. Of course, the two incidents last Thursday were completely unrelated, and they were basically, well, I wouldn't say common incidents, but not exceptional incidents. The letter bomb to the IMF was actually sent from Greece, by an anarchist group. But François Hollande called it a terrorist act because it was a bomb aimed at the IMF. And the incident at the school, the shooting incident, was committed by a pupil who had apparently problems with other pupils at the school, and he was completely obsessed by violence and also by the high school shootings in the US. He had watched a lot of videos about Columbine, for instance, the high school in the US where there was a huge shooting at the end of the 20th century. So these incidents were completely unrelated, but they were sufficiently serious enough to justify, according to the politicians, the state of emergency.
It is interesting to see how these type of incidents are being used in this way, because one could argue that these kind of incidents actually happen in every country every year. We don't have school shootings maybe all the time, but this kind of it's not major terrorist attacks or threats. And I'm just wondering, Stefan, I don't know what you think, but I mean, what's going to happen with this? Because if these kind of incidents are used in a way of, you know, saying that the state of emergency should stay in place, we might end with a very permanent state.
Absolutely. And of course, you remember our very first show it was in November 2000 or December 2013, just after the terrorist attack, we had an expert of Human Rights Watch, and he already expressed his concern about this measure. That's 1.5 years ago, so it was supposed to be a very temporary measure. And I think it's interesting to look to compare France to Germany after the attack in Berlin with the lorry during the Christmas market on the Christmas market in Berlin. The Germans did not overreact. They did not instate a state of emergency. They kept their heads cool. And actually this week, a similar letter as was sent to the IMF was sent to the German finance minister. It did not explode, but it came from the same Greek anarchist group, probably. And they did not instate the state of emergency either. So it's a completely opposite way of dealing with terrorism. But of course, it's a political issue. Because it is very easy to start a state of emergency, but how do you get out? And François Hollande.
It's a very difficult situation, because if someone was the person who makes the decision to actually lift the state of emergency, and then what if something happens?
Exactly.
That person will very much have to answer to that.
Yeah, and it will also depend on the kind of president we will get. If it's someone from the right, he will probably leave it in place. But even Emmanuel Macron, the independent center candidate, he said that he will lift the state of emergency only if he thinks that everything is okay to lift it. And he was not very clear about it, whether he would end it or not. So you see that this state of emergency, which was supposed to be temporary, is risking to become a permanent situation. So that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news. And we also spoke about music, and actually we have our own playlist in Spotify with the hippest or nicest French music according to our taste. You will find it by searching in Spotify for So French.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in SoundCloud, and keep an eye on our Facebook page for new Facebook Lives. Our next podcast will also be broadcast there. And you can find us also on the TuneIn Radio application. And please share this podcast with your friends. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the new episode of So French. We hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.